Our epistle lesson for this morning comes from the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verses 1 through 16. And because it is an epistle, you get to remain seated this morning, so I guess it really is a holiday weekend. But hear now the word of God. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourself are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think that they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work. Then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride. For all must carry their own load. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. See what large letters I make when I am writing in my own hand. It is those who want me to make a good showing in the flesh that try to compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Even the circumcised do not themselves obey the law, but they want to be circumcised so that they might boast about your flesh. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision or uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. As for those who will follow this rule, peace be upon them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Do you remember a magazine called Life Magazine? Yeah, you remember that? There it is, with our flag on it. Yippee. Well, there used to be a little word game that went around that was really popular when, right after the ark landed when I was also a kid. And it went like this. Well, that's life.
What's life?
Magazine.
Where can I get one?
Most any store.
How much does it cost?
$1.50.
But I don't have $1.50.
Well, that's life. That's sort of what Galatians 6:1 through 16 is saying. Paul is summing up his letter to Galatia. It's full of paradox. Now, I like paradox, especially Paul's paradox, because it gives me license to struggle with my own theology and to question and to debate and to discuss with all kind of situations to sit and ponder and think about, because Paul did. And if it's good enough for Paul, it's good enough for me. Paul's major struggle was with the law and love. And how did that fit in? He was a good Jew, with circumcision or not. And Paul was very often quoting one thing one time and one thing another. Don't be circumcised. You don't have to be circumcised. You don't have to keep the law to be Christian. You don't have to keep the Jewish law. Don't be circumcised. Timothy, you need to be circumcised. And so we see the tension of Paul in his own theology as he's transitioning from the law to the greater law called love. It gives us license to have those same internal struggles. He's asking the church to do what he says, but making it okay for them to step away from the we've never done it that way, or we've always done it that way, with coulda, shoulda, oughta, but not too far outside of coulda, shoulda, oughta, with spiritual and with flesh, with grace and with free will, with knowledge and with faith. It's sort of like saying, I love college football.
Me too.
Right. Except I love Georgia Tech. And you love?
Go Dogs.
Go Dogs. So this is what you're getting in Galatians, in Paul's letter to the church there. When I was working on this, the news, I was actually reading a commentary when the news came on and let us know that Pat Summitt had died. Now, Russ and Brittany, I don't think I'm the only one, and I don't think us are the only ones, that love to watch the Lady Vols. People that didn't even like Tennessee like to watch the Lady Vols. And the main reason was because of Pat Summitt. Chances are, if you watched them, you were going to see a win that night. She made sure that her girls were disciplined, competitive, skilled, and tough. Pat Summitt had the reputation of being a little extreme, right, Tom? She had the reputation of being demanding and unrelenting. Tom was in architectural school at Tennessee, and they used to quit their drawing to go upstairs to watch the Vols because they couldn't draw a crowd. So they could go free. They'd just come up and leave their drawing boards and go up and watch Pat Summitt and the girls practice and play because the girls couldn't muster up a crowd back then. Pat Summitt put them on the map. On the other hand, with all of that demanding and all of that unrelenting, she loved her girls, took personal interest in them, knew their families and reported to them, kept them informed, and the number she was the most proud of is that she had 100% graduation of all the girls that played for her for 4 years. And that was what she bragged about. Paradox. I like to say it this way. On the other hand, on the one hand, but on the other hand, and that's one of the reasons that I love America. It's one of the reasons that I like to sit and talk to people, because in any given crowd, there's a huge amount of diversity in America. The way we dress, the way we talk, the way we walk, the way we think. I told you last week that I sat with a group of young people not long ago that were in major crisis. When I asked about their faith, some of them said they were Christian. I wasn't sure they knew what that meant. I was pretty sure they said they were Christians because their parents had convinced them they were. Some of them said they were atheists. I knew they didn't know what that meant. And I think that they said it because their parents had tried to convince them they were not going to be atheists. And it was just a way of showing their parents that they would be what they wanted. I was glad some parents had convinced their children they were Christian. But on the other hand, I was also glad that they were struggling with their own faith. They cannot, can you hear what I'm saying to you, church? Children cannot go to heaven tied to their mama's apron strings or riding their daddy's coattails. They got to figure this out themselves. We can help them by bringing them to church, by teaching them the stories, by introducing them to Christ, by all those things. But sooner or later, they have to adopt their own theology. It is between them, between each of them, between each of us, and God. Don't hear me say there's nothing we can do to help someone who is struggling. I didn't say that, and neither did Paul. What Paul did say is don't judge someone and don't be harsh with them, but be gentle. Everybody doesn't have to walk like you, talk like you, think like you, be like you, which is a surprise to most folks. Tomorrow, I will walk the peach tree. There it is. I went and picked it up yesterday. I almost decided not to go because it was so chaotic just picking up the number that I thought, I don't know if I want to be in all this chaos. It's a paradox. First of all, me in the peach tree is a paradox. I will not run a single step. The fact of the matter is, I cannot run a single step. And this could be my last Peachtree Road race, but last year could have been my last, and the year before that could have been my last, and the year before that could have been my last. I'm going. Part of the reason I'm going is sort of a paradox. My goal is to finish before they take up the barriers. And before I am too far down the street on Peachtree Street, whoever won it and all of his compadres are going to walk this way when I'm walking this way and show me what the t-shirt looks like. But I go because of several things which are paradox. This year I've seriously thought about that many people being gathered in one spot, the Boston Marathon, the terrorism that's going on all over the world. And I thought, this is an invitation. We are just issuing an invitation. And then I thought, I am not going to allow terrorists to control my life. I am not going to be held hostage. And I believe that we are America strong and America won't be held hostage. I'm going to the peach tree. I hope I finish it. If I don't, Jeff will preach next Sunday. Now, the other reason I'm going is that t-shirt. I don't wear t-shirts except to sleep in. I don't want that t-shirt. I don't need that t-shirt, but I want to win that t-shirt. Do you see the paradox there? Is it a sense of pride? Oh, by the time I get finished and Tuesday morning, no, there's no pride in that. Our lives are filled with paradox, with on the other hand. Now, I love serving Shamley First. I love each and every one of you. On the other hand, no, just kidding. Just kidding. We, you and I, have done a good job of opening our doors and our hearts. We have diversity in our congregation. We have diversity in our Bible studies, theologies, and opinions. We have diversity in our potluck suppers. But on the other hand, tonight, I promise you, I will hear it. And some people will get their feelings hurt because somebody else didn't dip out of their pot. Did you taste my baked beans? Well, no, I got those baked beans. Well, why didn't you get my baked beans? I make coleslaw without mayonnaise. Well, I like coleslaw with mayonnaise in my coleslaw. Well, don't get mine then because it doesn't have mayonnaise in it. There will be comments like, I wish they would bring something sometimes beside potato salad. Wonder why he always has to bring sliced tomatoes. On the other hand, we'll gather around a common table. We'll eat a hot dog or a hamburger. Some of us will have onions, some of us won't. Some of us will say out loud, "Ooh, I can't have that. That stuff's bad for you." And others will say, "No, I don't want that sugar-free stuff. I want something bad." And whatever it is that we put in our mouth will taste a lot like a little piece of bread and a little cup of grape juice. On a more serious note, we often disagree in Bible studies, don't we, Leslie? And that's a good thing. Because if you're going to debate it, that means you've thought about it. Might mean you're struggling with it. Might mean you're wondering about it. What must I do to be saved? And some people will say, "Well, you have to repent and confess and be baptized." And some others will say, "Well, all you have to do is call on the name of Jesus." And I will say over and over again, there is nothing you can do to be saved. You are saved by grace. We're all right. We're all in love with Christ. Some folks here will say, "We sure have a fine preacher." And other folks here will say, "Is she going to stay forever? Isn't it time for her to be gone?" Some of us are Democrats and some are Republicans, and some of us don't know which way to turn this election year. Amen? Amen? Some of us love the worship style when Bill is at the organ and it's the great hymns of the church being played and we're all dressed in our suits and ties, and others much prefer a casual, "Let's wear shorts, it's hot outside, and can I bring my cup of coffee in, and could we please have a hymn played that was written in my lifetime." And you know what? There is room for all of us at God's table. All of us. What then is it that is essential and that holds us together? What then is it that is essential and cannot be compromised? What then binds us together as a church and as a family? Paul says, "Don't be arrogant. On the other hand, you boast of nothing but the cross." What he means is, don't love sin and stay away from it. But on the other hand, walk into the middle of that sin to help your brothers and sisters that are in the middle of it. And don't be mean or judgmental to them. Just gently, gently. No judgment there. And don't be harsh. Lead them into the kingdom. What he means is love Christ and love God more than anything, and then love all God's children. What he means is be diverse, be different, but accept each other, just like we are. And most of the time in helping others, we ourselves will be helped. And the kingdom becomes a little sweeter, and the love becomes a little deeper, and we become a little more Christ-like. On the other hand, have this in common, is what Paul is saying. Jesus Christ is Lord, and we are all children of the King. Amen.